Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On, baby. That's the way you want it, baby. Then I don't want you around. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday.
There it is.
What do you mean, nope? It is Friday. It's Friday all day today.
I was trying to do that for your REO Speedwagon, and I clicked on the wrong button.
And I can't fight this feeling anymore. I've forgotten what I started fighting for.
And there are people out there who said I sang that well.
Take
it shows
this
you
ship
how bad
into
they
the
are.
Shore. Throw away the oars forever.
Stop it. Next thing you know, you're going to start singing Air Supply.
Good morning, America. Welcome in. Happy Friday. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I hope that you have had just the most spectacularist of weeks so far. I hope you are ready for a four-hour sports talk radio extravaganza of greatness, or at least above mediocrity. My name is Rob Brown. The pleasure is almost exclusively mine. It's like 87% mine. The other 13% belong to the guy that is directly across from me today. The guy on the buttons and the switches and the knobs and the levers and the gears and the pulleys and the wheels and the ramps and all the simple machinery required to keep us not just on the radio airwaves, but sounding as good as we do, which is to say, very, very good. He is the great one, Lonzo. What up, Zoe?
So my experiment made it 4 days. And if you're watching on the stream, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got found out.
I think Steven ruined it. But my experiment was to see if the mutual love for a certain school was just one part of the afternoon show, the old afternoon show, or if it was both parts. And apparently it's both parts. Although I will say Cole is a Clemson fan, been a Clemson fan for a very long time, and actually a cool Clemson fan because they are out there.
Actually.
Yeah, for those of us who have met the ones who are not.
Actually.
He is cool. He is cool. The orange just clashes with all the red over there, and I don't like it. I will say their basketball team is a pretty good basketball team, though.
I would say nope, didn't work. I thought I had a new ding, ding, ding button. I don't have a new ding button.
No, it wasn't up.
Oh, it wasn't?
When you plug in, sometimes it will make noise. There we go.
Yay. Fun. Exciting. Okay, all right, stop. We can't do that. Can't have a ding battle. All right. Can't battle our dings. Can't go ding v ding. Got to keep your dings to a minimum.
Why do I have my ding-a-ling stuck in my head now?
Want you to play with... Okay.
That's what he was talking about, right?
Yeah, yes, for sure. Just a little bit. We have got a day lined up for you today. Why it is, you ask? Well, obviously, last night we had four Sweet 16 games. We had a number one seed bite the dust last night. We had a number one seed prove to the world why they are the number one seed. We had a number three seed drop the upset dub. And ladies And gentlemen, let me just read a text that we have already received before the show even began this morning. And it says, and I quote, Rob, so I guess Brad Brownell isn't getting fired this year. ding, ding. That is precisely and entirely correct.
So you put that sound thing, and now you're not going to use it because you feel like you used it too much in the first little bit.
No, it's because I just realized I actually forgot to record it, so I got to like open it in a media player, and then it's have the control that I have over there.
There we go. Again, it wouldn't shock me if Clemson fires him anyway because it would be like opposite day. He's finally proven that he can coach, and he's got a good team, and they're excelling. And then, you know, as soon as they get bounced, if they get bounced, they're done. He's done.
Yeah, that's going to be a no from me, dog.
Or another team goes, hey, pretty good. Why don't you come over here? Here's this much money.
I was texting with Joy B last night, and I said, you know, we got to the end of the game. Let's call it what it is. Arizona made it spicy there for a hot minute. Zona would not go away. And it felt like the perfect. In fact, I want to say towards the end of the first half, it felt like it was the annual Brownelling time for a minute. My man Joey B, P1, fan of the show, friend of the show, texted me last night into the evening about this game, and he's like, here comes the choke.
Hold on. What team does Joe pull for?
Joe's a Clemson guy.
So you got fan perspective there.
And, for sure.
And you know what? A fan that's been burned many times by this team.
Literally
and this coach.
What he said.
Yeah. So, I mean, you feel for that, and you're like, I mean, I guess as a fan, you're like, okay, all right.
Literally what he said.
Which you could have said the same thing the game before.
He texted me.
Because the game before, the same thing happened, but this one looked a little more dangerous.
Bro, I have to remind a lot of fans, because he wasn't the only one texting me. He was just the one that when the choke started, Joey B was like, yo, Brad. So I'm like, hey, dude, you do know you're in the Sweet 16, right? You do know at this point, like, only good teams are left. Only good teams are left. You don't get Oakland in the Sweet 16. You don't get, very rarely do you have a St. Peter's in the Sweet 16. Only good teams are left, and only good teams move on out of this round. This is the part where the cream raises to the top. Yeah.
Well, like most people, around this time of the year, and I'm going to say most people, I'm paying attention to college basketball because, you know, all the other people are paying attention because they have money on brackets, but I didn't get invited to ours. So, like most people.
I'm sorry, where were you on bracket week?
I was on vacation. Yeah,
thank you.
But you know, like we were trying to correspond on text, you just didn't answer any of that.
BS, dude! I texted you so much while you were gone.
It was like,
Don't lie to the people!
I can count them. There was like four
don't
the entire week.
Don't lie to the people!
So anyway, I have noticed a pattern with Clemson. They come out, they get hot with threes in the beginning of the last two games. They get a decent lead. They play defense. They come out in the second half, and the other team comes back. And then they start grinding again on defense, and this is not that all the other team can't shoot stuff. Clemson's actually playing defense, and that helped them out. And PJ, listen to me. And listen, it's obviously he's a listener to this program, and why shouldn't he? It's a two-time award winner, and you're welcome, PJ.
Take the credit. So there was a point where the threes kind of went away, as Lonzo accurately pointed out, and Arizona started chipping away. But before that happened, Joey B hit me on the text, and he's like, and this was when Clemson's up like 12, 13 points, handful of minutes left in the first half. And he's like, yo, there's no way they can do this in the second half, right? And I said, why? Why is there no way? And here's the spot that you've got to take into consideration. Against a two seed, and by the way, a two seed that a lot of people thought should have been a one seed in Arizona. A lot of folks thought Arizona should have got the one seed that North Carolina ultimately got. Against a two seed that could have, should have, would have been a one seed, you're going to have a fight. And when Arizona fought back, there were about 11 opportunities late in the second half where Clemson could have gave that game away. And it would have been you know what? And this is what I told Joey B. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if Clemson or if Arizona playing the way Arizona was playing for about a 5 minute span from about 7 minutes till about 2 minutes left, if Arizona plays this way and wins this game, I still will not get on the radio tomorrow and allow anyone to go after Brad. Because this is a one seed quality two seed. And if you lose a basketball game to them, that's a quality L. At the worst possible time, at a point in time where L means you go home. But that's a quality L if you take it. That is not a we choke. That's a we got beat by one of the best, probably four teams in America. And as far as I'm concerned, and I've already told Lonzo this morning before we came on the air, that win last night said to me, Clemson's a Final Four quality team. Not saying they'll get there, because so is Alabama. That's who they got in the Elite Eight. I'm not saying they will get there. I'm saying they have Final Four quality right now. Because this is a team that we had all the questions about, right? This is a team we had all the questions about. This is a team that we were concerned about. This is a team that we were looking at and going, all right, can they do it without PJ? Can they do it if the rebounds aren't there? Can Ann Schefflin make up for the rebounds if PJ's only getting three a game? Can they?
I'm a fan of the chef hat, by the way. I just gotta say,
chef, baby, he was cooking last night.
I think that's such a cool thing.
He was cooking last night. So, looking at that game, the answer to all those questions were yes. Can this team respond if the three ball goes away? Yes. Can this team respond if PJ has to leave in foul trouble? Yes. And by the way, I want to say, and you guys know how I feel about this, I haven't held back about it, the officiating last night in that game was absolute dog, start to finish. I don't say this. I don't like to say it because I think people lean on it too heavily in certain spots. Clemson was getting hosed, by the stripes last night. At one point in the second half, the free throw differential was 23-7. It was not until the very end where Arizona had to foul that Clemson started going to the stripe consistently. 23-7 was the free throw count at one point in the second half. There was a spot in that game last night where PJ Hall was up underneath the rim playing defense. They, as Arizona did all damn night long, and for the record, for about a 3 minute stretch, Arizona was doing exactly the right thing, knowing what they had to do against PJ Hall in foul trouble. They were going to Omar Ballo underneath. They would just throw it up top, throw a little lob over the top. They knew PJ could not go up with Ballo because he'd have had to foul him to get through the ball. And so they were just feeding him layups. And I'm going, that's what you have to do. And what that means is Clemson has to score on the other end. Every time they go with that little force feed layup, you got to go on the other end, and they did. But there was a spot where they went to the big man inside. PJ Hall was sitting on three fouls with plenty of time left to go. He hits the old torque post move, you know? Ball back, torque on him a little bit, bang, bang. Bang, driving back under the basket.
Did you say torque or twerk?
Twerk.
Okay, because you're twerking as you're, that's just...
I'm a fat white guy. What do you want?
Okay. All right? Yeah. Don't tune in to the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or X to see him twerking.
My twerkability is not good. I'm not good at it. So he's going with the old ground and pound offense. Just lean back, leave it like Fat Joe, lean back. Just kind of bang him back down up underneath the glass and then turn for a layup. PJ Hall is standing there. He's got his positioning on the floor. The hands are directly up over the head. Bella goes up and around. PJ Hall does not move his hands. They say straight vertical, straight up and down. He's got his spot, and they whistle 24. And I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? What is that? What kind of call is that? That's garbage, dude. So even with the, listen, I don't, like I said, I don't like to say this. I don't say it often. It was 5-on-8 last night. It was 5-on-8 last night, and Clemson fought through that. If the fouls are getting called split down the middle last night, and again, y'all know I don't like to lean this way, but if the whistles are going down the middle today or last night, Clemson wins this game by probably 10 more points, legitimately. Now, it helps that Arizona went 17 of 25 from the stripe. The difference in made field goals was only 6. At one point, it was 24-7 on the free throw differential. It ended 25-16. But again, six or seven of those free throws came at the very end of the game where Arizona had to foul. Otherwise, the differential would have ended at like 25-10, 25-11. It was poorly officiated last night, and Clemson got through it anyway. My guy, that is the mark of a good basketball team. So, all I'm going to say is, some of y'all owe Brad Brownell a damn apology this morning. That's it. Now, that is not to say he's off the hook for some of the not-so-great moments of years gone by. But I have made the argument to you in the past that I truly think this team got snubbed last year, and I think this team last year could have been an Elite Eight team as well. This year, they are not an Elite Eight team. They're a Final Four caliber team. The biggest problem you have is, so is Alabama. And they showed that last night by knocking off North Carolina. So, I don't know what you want. Some of y'all better, all that energy, all that gas that you guys have been putting out there on Twitter, I expect you to tweet out the support and the apology with the exact same enthusiasm this morning as you did calling for his head 6 weeks ago.
See, but you're acting like that thought process isn't warranted, which it absolutely is, because they've had to deal with year after year of disappointment, whereas with other programs, he would have been let go a long time ago. So you're wanting them to just suddenly celebrate now, because Clemson stuck with a coach who finally is producing.
I think he would have produced last year. I think he got snubbed. That's not on him. And again, I will also acknowledge, and again, I probably should not do this. I will also acknowledge my familiarity with Clemson's basketball team starts 4 years ago. Past that, I knew Clemson as one of the teams that Duke and North Carolina play every year, because I wasn't around here, right? And respectfully, you guys haven't been to the Elite Eight in 44 years. There wasn't a reason to pay attention. Now yeah, there is.
When the narrative has been repeated over and over again, and justly so, I mean, it's hard to break out of that pattern. It
for
really
sure
is. And I think probably a lot of Clemson fans are still in shock. Wait, we're where? We're Elite Eight? Is that... Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure. I saw it.
No, I was pretending to be a Clemson fan. It was difficult, but I'm a method actor.
So and I was responding to your fake fan.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was responding to your fake fan by saying, yes, I'm sure. I watched it. I was awake last night. I stayed up way too late because when that game was over, I was jazzed to watch the end of Bama UNC. And when that game was over, I flipped over to watch the Arizona Diamondbacks put a whooping on the Colorado Rockies. Won me quite a bit of money last night. And that game didn't end until 12:45 last night, and then I went to bed. I'm real tired this morning.
Dude, this is gonna catch up with you. You're getting older, and
it was opening day. Like, I'm not gonna watch every 10 p.m. baseball game. I realized that when I laid my sweet handsome head down to bed last night at 1 a.m. I was like, no, can't do this every night. Can't do it. But it was opening day. We had Baston, Seattle out on the left coast. We had Arizona, Colorado out in the desert. I wasn't not going to watch that. And I'm real glad I did, because Seattle Baston turned into a game. Not so much Colorado v. Arizona. That wasn't much of a game like at all. With a final score of 16-1, great one, including Arizona in the third inning, putting up 14 runs in one frame. And then basically just hitting cruise control down the stretch. 14 runs, one inning, against a Major League Baseball team. Colorado's going to be real bad this year. Go ahead and go run line for every team that plays Colorado. You're going to win it. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a moment from now, we take a deeper look at the numbers behind the Clemson Tigers basketball win. They get it done yesterday, knocking off the 2-seed Arizona. 77-72 is your final. We'll break that down right here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. Texas said, all this has gotten Clemson fans is more years of mediocre Brad. This shows you can win at Clemson. Now go find a coach who can win at Clemson consistently. End quote. I don't think any of us or you or y'all or anybody else doubted that you can win at Clemson. I don't think that was ever in doubt. I think that's the frustration behind Brad Brownell.
No, it was in doubt. Absolutely, it was in doubt. You just how long has it been since they've made it this far?
44 years!
Which would put some doubt into you, I'm thinking, you know,
okay,
possibly.
Let me rephrase that. All of the ingredients were there for this team, for this school, to be able to consistently compete. All of them, all the ingredients are there. If nothing else, you have, with a dry spell, you have made the NCAA tournament many, many times.
Dry spell.
Yeah, I was going to say of the Sweet 16, because the last time you went to the Sweet 16 was 2018. The last time you went to the Sweet 16 was 21 years before that. So there was a little bit of a dry spell there. It's not frequent, but here is, and this is something we've talked about with the portal and NIL and all of that. The playing field is leveled, and that is in basketball as well. It used to be that UNC and Duke and UConn and Marquette and although at Kansas, Indiana, they all hoarded the basketball talent. And basically, those schools picked and chose who they wanted to have as players at their school, and then everybody else fought for whoever was left over. If you were a McDonald's All-American, you were wearing some shade of blue, and then everybody else was kind of fighting over the scraps. And I don't think it's that way anymore. Then on top of that, how big does development look like right now? How big does development look like with the improvement of the chef? How big does development look like with PJ Hall? By the way, as I said on yesterday's show, the problem with Brad to this point is never X's and O's. You know how I know? You know how I know? I know because of that inbounds play last night. I know because when Clemson was bringing the ball inbounds under the basket, they called a timeout, they went to the sideline, even announcer bro, and I got to tell you, I won't drag you too far down this rabbit hole. I was ready to fight announcer bros last night. They were aggravating the crap out of me. They were casually acknowledged that Clemson was getting screwed at the free throw line. At one point, they were like, you know, right now it's the free throw differential that's really keeping Arizona in this game. It's like, thank you for saying it, I guess. Anyway, they went on the inbound. They ran a nice little set piece. They ran like a double screen over the top. The switch happened. Brad realized the switch was happening, so he threw a second screen to the opposite side. PJ cut back inside to the basket. They got the first switch, but not the second. And so PJ Hall just running to the basket by himself. Hit him with the little inbounds pass. Two-hand dunk. Slam it down. Momentum that was squarely in Arizona's corner at that point swings right back to Los Tigres. Just like that.
And I am so impressed I'm not playing the meow today. I've decided that.
I like that.
Yeah, it was a really good game, and I'm not playing the meow today.
I like that. A little respect. Put a little respect on it. I dig that. So the issue has never been, will never be, Brad's not an X's and O's guy. You know what I told a buddy of mine last night? I said, if you looked at this like football, if college basketball had offensive coordinators the way college football does, Brad Brunell would be fine. He'd be one of those guys that is a coordinator, gets a head coaching job, gets an opportunity, goes, doesn't go great, and then is immediately hired back to another powerhouse football team as their coordinator. That's what he'd be. Because the X's and O's are good. And he put that on full display last night on set pieces run against the Arizona defense. And Arizona defense, that, by the way, had one of, I don't know, 7, 8 big men in America that it feels like they could truly put Clemson at least on equal footing, maybe even at a disadvantage with PJ Hall down low. And so Brad ran an offense around it. And by the way, you'll notice on defense, PJ Hall ended that game with 3 fouls. What was my big key to that game last night? Coach PJ up not to give away dumb fouls. Coach the guards up not to let ball handlers dribble, drive, penetrate, and go at PJ's chest. Because if they get inside the paint, if they get to PJ's chest, he's going to foul him. And if he fouls him and he gets into foul trouble, which he got with 3 fouls with what, like 9 minutes left to play? I don't remember what it was. Somewhere in that mark. But when he got into that spot, they worked around it. I was very, very satisfied with Brad Brunell. It harkened back to the clip we played you last week when Joe Girard III said, respectfully, you Brad Brunell haters can kiss it. Let me tell you one of the biggest things.
When they were crying? Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Okay. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Very emotional time for that team, a week ago. When he dropped that, it was one of those spots where we've talked about the concept of player coaches in the past, or players coaches, not player coaches. That's a different thing from back in the old days. Players coaches. Coaches that players really like to play for, whether they're good or not. And I had kind of been of this mentality of like, all right, is that what this is? Maybe this guy's just a player's coach. But the more I've looked, the X's and O's have never been the issue. You know what the issue has been for this basketball team the last couple of years? Composure, mental fortitude, the ability to take a punch in the mouth and not fall apart.
Yeah, but that comes down to coaching.
I agree.
Which is why a lot of people have been wanting him gone.
I agree.
Because they see potential, but little errors are the things that have held them back.
I agree. And if that is the case, if that's how you felt, which is understandable, I've said it. I said it myself during the regular season in certain spots. There were spots during the course of the regular season, a couple of dumb losses down the stretch, if we're being honest. Of course, down the stretch in which Clemson had already made the tournament, so I don't necessarily know that they were a full tilt, full go basketball team. But even in years gone by that I've been here, there have been spots, there have been times where the lack of composure was the problem. There have been spots and there have been times where this team felt like they were in a real good position to do something, and then somebody comes out and they punched them in the mouth and they reeled. They didn't know what to do. I would say now you have had two consecutive games against two good teams. I'm going to say you've had two consecutive games. Hell, let's go all the way back to the beginning. You had one game against a good team in New Mexico. You were not a dog to me, but Vegas and the betting public listed you as a dog. You finished that game. You had game two against Baylor, a very good offensive team. Not a great defensive team, a very good offensive team. Baylor started firing shots in the second half. They tried to punch you in the mouth. You took that on the jaw. You responded. Then last night against Arizona, a very good, very balanced team, a team that can play on both ends, a team that had a big man in the middle for the first time that could go mano-a-mano against PJ Hall, and they punched you in the mouth in the second half. And here's, let me give you the moment that I went, oh, I like this. Press conference, post game. I heard a little bit of it last night. I watched the press conference this morning right before we came on the air. I was watching it in the Fortress of Nerditude before we cracked the mics this morning. And do you know what phraseology Brad Brownell used? He said, we knew that they were going to punch us in the face. We knew that they were going to throw punches at us. We knew we were going to have to take those shots and roll through it, but we knew we were good enough to do it. I watched last night. They showed a clip of Brad addressing the team in the locker room fresh off the win, like walking into the locker room after his initial courtside interview post the dub. And he walked in the room, and that's exactly what he said to the team. He looked at the team, and he goes, hey, I told you, they're going to go on runs. They're going to punch us in the mouth. But we're good enough to win this. And he said, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to enjoy this one. I want you to enjoy it for a little while. But we didn't come here to win just one, and the team lost its mind. I'm going to tell you right now, everything I saw, everything I heard post-game out of this cat, as far as I'm concerned, that plus the win over a 2 seed to move to the Sweet 16. This isn't a situation where you got an okay team that caught a real lucky draw through the back, through the bracket, right?
You're hungry, aren't you?
I really am.
Brisket, you know, which is just weird. It's just beef, but anyway.
Brisket's delightful.
Yeah, but I never heard it called brisket till I moved down here.
It's a brisket.
It's just beef.
Smoked is the best way to go.
Beef.
So you go to McDonald's and you're just like, I like beef, please.
Doesn't everyone?
No. Okay. I'm not doing this with you. It's too early. It's too early for that. I like this dude, this cat, this coach took me from a guy who, even a handful of days ago, my thought was the problem that you have with Brad is not X's and O's. The problem is the mental fortitude, the mental composure of this basketball team. And last night, they were as composed as anybody else. They were as composed as anybody else. They handled their business. They got knocked around by Arizona in the second half, and they had plenty of chances to roll over. They had plenty of spots where the pressure could have been too much. They had plenty of spots where a team that does not have mental composure could have laid it down. The inbounds play, what'd they do? They saw their spot. They ran the play. They executed it flawlessly. I said going into that game, you have got to protect P.J. Hall. You got to protect P.J. Hall. What'd they do? They protected P.J. Hall. And who was the guy, if you don't believe me, go check my Twitter. Who was the guy that I told you 2 days ago was going to have to win or lose this game for you? Chase bleeping Hunter. Who won that game for Clemson last night? Chase bleeping Hunter.
Dude was on fire.
Dude was en fuego. For sure. He was everywhere. Knocking down shots, knocking them down. That three he had with like 4 minutes remaining, that killed the Tide. Diesel had pointed out at that point, he said, okay, this feels like a turning point in this game for Arizona. And then like a possession later, Chase Hunter knocks back a three from a foot and a half behind the arc. And I went, there's your turning point, Diesel. Not in like a snarky I'm a jerk way, because he wasn't, you know, at my house.
That's how it works when you're exing. You throw something up there almost immediately after you throw it up there.
Oh, 100%.
Something totally the opposite happens.
For those of you that have followed me on Twitter over the years, you have noticed that I have really dramatically pulled back on my emotional reacting on Twitter. Because inevitably, whenever I go, Dennis Allen sucks, the defense forces like 9 3 and outs in a row, and I look like a jackass. So, yeah, I've had to stop that. But, yeah, I mean, he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. It absolutely did feel like a turning point. It felt like this is the moment that Arizona crushes hopes and dreams, because this is the moment where Clemson loses basketball games. And instead, Chase knocks down a big three. They go down, they get a defensive stop. What was in a spot where it absolutely could have gone to be a 2-point Arizona lead, now it's a 5-point swing the other direction, and Clemson's back up 4. And Arizona has basically had 2 immaculate offensive buckets that got them a -1 in the score differential. It's about as good as you can, about as good as you can ask for. Texture says, Rob, I feel like the mindset has kind of been Clemson can't win consistently against the tobacco road teams. To your point, now Clemson can. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think at this point, and again, with the spreading of talent, courtesy of the transfer portal and the name, image, and likeness legislation, courtesy of NIL and courtesy of the transfer portal, you have a school that is clearly willing to invest. You have a school that has excellent facilities. You have a school that has a very solid fan base. You have a school that has everything that you need to build a basketball team. And would you look at this? Now you've got a school that's got a coach that his players are telling fans, if you're not on board for that, then kiss my ass. And if the players are willing to do that for their coach, they're in. And now you've got a team that not once, not twice, but 3 tournament games in a row has taken a shot to the jaw and has responded not once, not twice, but 3 times in a row. You can't ask for anything else. If they get bumped by Bama in the next round, great one, it's already a successful year.
Yeah, but the people who want Bragg gone will start being loud again, even though this has been a very good season for Clemson. You know, if that only worked that way, but it does not.
At this point, no matter what happens, no matter where it goes, this is a successful year. It just end of story. It is a successful year. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. Talk about the other three games that took place last night. Your opponent in the Elite Eight, Clemson fans, will be Nate Oates and his University of Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide! We'll talk a little bit about what that matchup might look like coming up in a handful of days when we return. It is Rob Brown. It is the great one, Lonzo. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. And we're back. The Rob Brown Show on the radio. Rob Lonzo and you. Alabama 89-87 winners over the North Carolina Tar Heels last night. The upset over the last one seed to get into the tourney. Good win for Bama. Bama was down in a hole. They were down 54-46 at the half. Outscored the Tar Heels by 10 in the second half, and the majority of that 10-point differential came down the stretch. There was a point there. Actually, there was a lot of points there where it felt like Bama was just out of gas, where it felt like you were just going to get too much out of Armando Bacot and the Heels for the Tide to roll on. But I enjoy Nate Oates as a coach, dudes. I enjoy Nate Oates as a coach. I like this guy a lot, and last night he put on full display why. Because at the end of that game, Nate Oates put on a clinic on how to work a basketball team, on how to get the most out of a basketball team. You got 24 out of Grant Nelson. You got 19 out of Rylan Griffin. You got 19 out of Aaron Estrada. Who is going to be those guys? Those two predominantly, those two guards are going to be a problem for Alabama or for Clemson. Let me tell you why I think it is that you are in a real good spot here. Alabama has a guy they list as a forward who is the big man. He goes by the name of Nick Pringle. He is a 6'10", 230-pound forward out of Seabrook, South Carolina. And a good player, but he gives you about 12, 13 minutes a game on average. This year, he bumped that average up to 18-ish minutes a game. He's not going to give you a full game. And when Nick Pringle comes out of the game, they don't really have anywhere else to go for size. They've got Muhammad Wagi, who is a 6'10" junior from the Bronx, in New York, but he's another guy that is going to give you, he gave you 2 minutes last night. He gave you 2 minutes. Now, on top of that, he is I'm not going to say finesse big man, but he's a finesse big man. There's not a lot of oomph to him. This game, if there is a game this year that has to be won by P.J. Hall. We talked about Chase Hunter. I told you going into that game last night, Chase Hunter was the key to a Clemson victory. And Chase Hunter came through in that Clemson victory last night. There's not a player for Alabama. There's some good players. Real good guard play out of Alabama. They do have a 6'11 guy by the name of Grant Nelson as well. Grant Nelson's a 12-point-a-game guy. He's a dude that's going to give you, on average, 23, 24 minutes as well. They're going to roll 6'10", 6'10", 6'11 in the middle. None of them are P.J. Hall. Also on top of that, Nick Pringle, who is the starter of those three. Nick Pringle last night had to bail out of the game with a deep bone bruise on his left ankle, on an ankle. So he had to peel out. He did come back, but if you have ever dealt with an ankle bruise, they suck. And they suck because unless you just sit around and do nothing, unless you just pop the rear into the lazy boy and don't, you know, walk or stand for about a week, you keep putting pressure on that bruise over and over and over, and it makes it hard for it to heal. So this spot to me is a real good one for Clemson. Texter says, Rob, why is Clemson in a good spot? Clemson beat this team in Tuscaloosa this season. Simple as that. They have a shot. Dude, they don't just have a shot. They don't just have a shot. There's more than a good chance they win this game tomorrow. Their biggest big man has a bone bruise on the ankle. I'm attacking Nick Pringle constantly. I'm having PJ Hall needs to touch the ball every possession this time around. I didn't feel that way last night. I felt last night like guard play was going to win or lose this game for Clemson. It was going to be Chase Hunter. It was going to be Joe Girard. It was going to be the guys around the perimeter opening up the floor, and when PJ Hall became available, go to the inside. This game's the exact opposite. Yes, Bama has size. Like I said, 6'10", 6'10", 6'11". Bama has size. They don't have the talent on the interior that you have with PJ Hall. You have to, not an option. You have to run the offense through him in this game. You just have to. You've got a 6'10", 238-pound big man in the middle who's got about a 10-pound weight advantage on the next closest guy and the guy that is a little banged up. I don't know how serious that bone bruise is on his ankle that was reported during the game last night. I know he had to leave the floor for a little while and go to the locker room. I know he came back out dressed and ready to play. But again, I have had an ankle bruise before. They're obnoxious, and they don't go away. And it's not one of those injuries that it's like, well, once you start playing, you forget about it. Nope, you don't. Every time you step, you remember exactly where you're dinged up. I think this game has to go through PJ Hall. I think in the last game, it was about playing from the outside in to open the floor up for PJ Hall in the middle against their big men. I think in this game, it is more about the big man contracting the floor, shrinking the floor in order to allow the guards on the outside to succeed. I think it is more about creating a situation in which in which PJ Hall opens the floor up for Girard and Hunter to keep doing what they're doing. You still got to shoot the three. You still got to shoot the three well. That part is not an option for you. But to me, in the last game, you were utilizing the three to draw Arizona's offense or defense out to you to then get the ball to the inside. In this one, I think it's the other way around. Bama is adept with their guard play. So what do? You get the ball to the inside. You let that defense collapse. Bama's going to throw a mix of man and zone at you. You let them collapse their defense. Preferably, you get them to switch to a zone so that they can provide whoever is guarding PJ Hall at any given moment with a little help side assistance. And once everybody collapses to him, now all of a sudden, your shooters on the outside have room to shoot. That's how this game plays out. I'm going to tell you right now, tomorrow night's going to be fun, dude. Tomorrow night's going to be fun. I could see this game ending 94-92. I could see this game ending 64-62. Clemson's good enough to win this game. But much like against Arizona, mission accomplished, you're going to have the right play. At this point, I trust Brad Brownell to do that. And more importantly, you're going to have your players elevate, escalate, and execute. Alabama plays a motion ball. They want to get in your head. They want to get you frantic. They want to get you out of spots. And once they knock down a couple of threes and they get going, they feed off of that. Do not let them get there. Now, if you want energetic, dang, I screwed my own segue. If you want frantic, but well executed, it's this.
In other basketball that was played last night, the top half of the left bracket has its Elite Eight teams. The UConn Huskies showed why they're the number one overall seed with a 30-point 82-52 win over San Diego State. The number three Illinois Illini proved the doubters wrong as well, knocking off the two seed Iowa State 72-69. The Huskies and Illini will meet in the Elite Eight. The 18th ranked Gamecock baseball team fell on the road at Alabama 4-3. The Gamecocks had eight hits and jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first, but allowed Alabama to score once in the fifth and twice more in the seventh to take command. Hey, I don't know if you knew this, but we have a new show in the afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m., our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole, Bryson, and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.